praise his name forevermore. If you have your Bibles, you can go to Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19. Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19 is where we're going to start. And I am in South Dayton tomorrow, starting a new, I don't want to say series, maybe it's a new flow. We've been in a flow of fear and getting rid of fear and recognizing what's in us and faith and going into a different direction tomorrow, although it's all connected. But we'll see next week. But I just knew in my spirit overwhelmingly that this message needed to be preached here as well. So anyways, praise God for it. Glory to God. Father, we love you tonight. We're ready to receive. We've come hungry. We've come expecting. We've come ready. Now, Father, I thank you for utterance tonight. I thank you for boldness. Father, you know what people need to hear. You know the utterances, the revelations, the illustrations, whatever they need, Father. I thank you for it. I just want to be a willing vessel for you tonight. So thank you. You'll speak through me. I thank you. I'll speak as the oracles of God. And I thank you, Father, we'll leave here changed. Father, we'll leave here helped. And we'll give you all the glory. We'll give you all the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19, it's a verse that, you're probably very familiar with. But it says here, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your seed may live. Amen? This verse, if you get a revelation on this verse, what it will do, one for you, is destroy that mindset of whatever will be, that we have no part to play, that whatever, happens is just out of our control, and that we have nothing we can do about it. Because what we see in this verse is that God is setting before us a fork in the road. And, right, and you know what Yogi Berra said, not Yogi Bear, but Yogi Berra the catcher. He said, when you come to a fork in the road in life, take it. It seems pretty obvious. You take the fork in the road, But anyways, he had some goofy things he'd say. But anyways, God has set before you a fork in the road. And he's saying, you choose the path you want to go on. And the path set before you is a path of life or a path of death. Amen? The path of death includes the cursing. The path of life includes blessing. But the second thing other than that, when I start to see, wow, I have a choice, I have a responsibility, is I see something from my Heavenly Father. And what I see and what really focuses in on, highlights to me and pinpoints to me the fact that I better make the right choice, is that God will let you choose wrong. God will let his creation, God will let his own children choose the path of death, which leads to cursings. And as I see that, I think, wow, that really then magnifies the importance of making the right choice. That God will let you choose to go on a path of death. And I think what that does, and going back to the first thing that I said that it shows me, is that you can choose wrong, and you can just keep going wrong and wrong and wrong and wrong, and your Heavenly Father will let you do that. But he also says, I've also given you the option of choosing life. Amen? With my children, I always tell Caleb this, he rarely gets in trouble for things, but he's not perfect either, and he acts like a kid at times, and he's got his own things. But I always tell him, I say, buddy, when's the only time that things don't work out well for you? Or a different, way that I deal with you. And, he says, when I make the wrong choice, when I do the wrong thing, right? But it's just like the kingdom of God in my home, that when my kids choose right, things go well for them. And they have the choice. Every day they wake up, They know the rules. They know what's in front of them. They know what's required. They know the consequences. Every day, how their day turns out, right? Blessing, cursing, things taken away, blessings come in their life, going to bed early, whatever kind of discipline it is. It's not based on me. It's not based on what I'm some supreme ruler in my home. It's my reaction, and what they get and don't get is first what triggered by them. And it's the same thing with God. And so he's telling us to choose life. And this message, before we pivot, I need to stress something and brand something in you, because there is a choice that we need to take. And Hebrews chapter 4 tells us this, one of the places and the dangers of not choosing this. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 1. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 1, look what it says. Let us therefore fear. See, that says to be afraid, that to tremble, to be concerned. For what? Lest a promise of being left us entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. And so in verse 1, it's talking in context about promises. And what do we know that the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20 tells us? It says, all the promises of God, the answer to those promises are what? Yes and amen, or so be it. God has told us his take on the promises. And what are the promises? Well, salvation's a promise. Healing's a promise. Abundance and prosperity and a full supply is what? It's a promise, right? Favor is a promise. All sorts of things, joy, victory, protection, these things are all promises. And we know that God's take is yes on those things. And in those promises comes what? A rest, right? When you're sick in body, feeling the pain, feeling the torment of that, staying up, your diet's affected, it's naturally beating you up. How many of you know sickness is not a restful place? It's not restful at all. I've not also found that it's very restful when I can't pay my bills, when I'm stressed out about money, when I'm in debt up to my eyeballs and have no way of getting out of that. That's not restful either. Well, but with the promise, or with the problem of sickness, there's a promise of health. With the problem of lack, there is a promise of health. Amen? And so he says, let us be afraid. We ought to be so concerned. We ought to be in a place where it's like we would have a promise, but not enter into it and come short of it. And then it says in verse 2, for unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. Well, what have you heard me say about the gospel and the word of God? The word of God is your opportunity out of your situation. Right? What did I say in the beginning? It's a GPS. Well, I know this, that I've at times thought I knew where I was going, or something, and I get to a place where I don't recognize where I am, or even in the woods, walking along and think, okay, that ridge should be right up here. Well, why isn't that ridge up here? Or that field should be right around the corner, and it's not there. And I think, well, what in the world's going on? And so I have a GPS on my phone. I have the Google Maps and Google Earth, which pinpoint my location and can show me. And so then I'll look at that, and what? It tells me how to get out of my situation. Amen? And some of us are lost in sickness. Some of us are lost in lack, and some of us are lost in depression, and some of us are lost in fear and worry and anxiety. Some of us are lost in loneliness, right? There, these things that are anti-abundant life, we're lost in these things. And he says that I want you to enter into my rest through the promises of God. And then he says, the way into him, he says, the gospel was preached. So he's saying, the way we enter in, it's the opportunity of the word of God, right? That gives us the opportunity. The word really is a springboard into abundant life, or a catapult out of what you're in into abundant life. And he says, for unto us the gospel is preached as well unto them. What's he saying? They were given the opportunity. They were given the opportunity for increase. They were given the opportunity to go higher and to get more. For the word was preached, or the word preached did not profit them. Wow. Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So there can be a promise of faith or healing and prosperity and joy and victory and all these things. And it can even be preached, and it can be preached with fire. But if the hearer of that word, isn't it interesting with the parable of the sower? The one thing they all had in common, they all heard the word. They all had the same opportunity to go higher. I have seen, even in my own family and different things, I have seen the same people grow up in the same household, same mom and dad, same opportunity, same love, same care and support, and four of them are knocking it out in life, and one of them is not, or three, and they all had the same opportunity, and all had the same chance. Well, that's what he's saying here. They had the word preached unto them just as well as we had the word preached unto us, but why they didn't enter into their rest is they didn't mix something with that word. I preach the word, because if you think the sole preaching and hearing of the word gets you into your blessing, you're mistaken. The word was preached in the parable of the sower, and the word was heard in the parable of the sower, but 75% of the people in the parable of the sower didn't get a thing out of it. They didn't mix the right thing with it. The word alone, Jesus was the word alone, and many people didn't benefit from Jesus. Why? They didn't mix the right thing with it. And so in verse 3 it says, "For we which have believed," or we which what? "Have faith, do enter into the rest. As he has said, as I have sworn in my wrath, they shall enter into my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world." What's he saying here? Your healing, see, your healing is not far away. It's already been done. What's the works? The works of the promises. We have this wrong idea of we're grasping at trying to get things. No, what you need's already done. The abundance, the supply, the provision, it's already been done. The doors that you need opened, the blessings that you need, already have been done. But the way they become yours is through the purchasing of faith, amen? And so if you don't, so why? What are we saying then? Well, they didn't enter into rest. What's that mean? They stayed in their situations. Blessings, cursings, life and death. Choose life. And the purpose of this series and the way the Holy Ghost put it on my heart and the way that I preached it last week was really to try to open people's eyes, to almost shake them, you know, to shake them, to get to realize, hey, it's time to wake up, amen? It's time to, you know, make a decision in our lives. We want things different. Okay, we have a responsibility. And you know, at times we need to be shook. We need to be shook, and we need to be woken up. You know, I remember taking Caleb hunting in the first buck that he ever had harvested. It was an incredible shot. He loves shooting. He loves shooting all the time. I mean, he just talks about it nonstop, and he's good at it. He's got a very calm demeanor, you know. And well, this buck stepped out, and when we first saw it, it was only, I don't know, 50 yards off to the side of us. Well, he's sitting here, and I'm sitting next to him, and the buck is that way, you know, and would that be 90 degrees? If we're looking at this, 90 degrees. And so he's staring right at us, and so there's no way we're getting the gun off the rest, turning all the way around without him running away. So I'm like, just sit here, we'll see, let this play out. Well, the deer kind of walked behind us, and it was a younger one, so it didn't have all its brains yet, you know. And so it walked behind us, and it gets into some thick stuff, and so we're starting to see, and I'm seeing the deer's going to curl around. But in the meantime, I hear Caleb's breathing just picking up, and I start to feel the tree stand. Shaking, you know, it's called buck fever. If you've never had it, it's a real thing, you know. And so I didn't think anything of it at the time because I didn't think we were going to get a shot at this thing because of where it was and located. But I saw that it starts walking up a ridge, and about 150 yard shot, there was going to be a big opening, and the deer looked like it was going to walk right in it. So, and it was going to happen real quick. And I grabbed him, and maybe most people would think this is not kind and compassionate, but I knew if I didn't, the end result wouldn't be what he wanted. And I grabbed him, and I put pressure on his arms, not hurting him, but letting him know Dad means serious. I said, you knock it off right now. I mean, it turned from a fun hunt to Dad's mad. But I wasn't. I was trying to get it. I said, you knock it off. Take deep breaths. I said, you're never going to be able to shoot that deer with a gun going like this. And so I had to almost kind of scare him a little bit. Rattle his cage, right? Shake him silly. And so I said, buddy, you knock it off right now. Stop it. And I'm squeezing a little tighter and tighter. You got me. I'm in his face. You got me. You knock this off because I know if I can get him calmed down, we are going to rejoice because he's not going to miss that shot. And so I did that. He calmed down. Rest. 150 yards. Deer dropped. And we just started rejoicing and crying and hugging and jumping and hooting and hollering. And so I was never mad at him, but I needed to be bold with him. Why? To get him to a place. And you need to be dealt with boldly tonight that your choices are going to lead you to life or death, not circumstances. You know what circumstances are? That's a victim mentality. I was talking to somebody on the phone recently about the things of God and trying to get them turned on to the things of God. I said, you know, I'm not exempt from the same things you're going to face, because they had talked about wanting to go the ways of the world. They had not received Jesus yet, and they had mentioned something in their life. I said, no, don't worry about what you should be doing in life. Find out, get into God's kingdom, because I said, even if you do that in life, the natural thing, you're still going to have things that come against you that you're not going to be able to get out of. Life is going to throw things at you that you can't get past. And so I'm on the phone with this person, and I'm telling him, I said, you know, I'm not exempt from the same tests and trials that you that come against you. But you know what I am exempt from? I'm exempt from defeat. I'm exempt from staying in that place because I've been given a supernatural endowment of being saved and my spirit brand new and the Holy Ghost in me. And then this thing called the measure of faith, right? And so when things come against me, what do? I use my faith, and then those things change. Whereas the world, or ignorant people, when I talk about ignorant people, I'm talking about Christians who are not in the world, things come against them, and we're so used to just thinking God can do anything or that we deserve it or whatever, and then nothing changes. I'm here to tell you, it's not your circumstances that are your problem. He didn't say life and death come based on circumstances. Life and death come based on choices. And faith is the choice that you can't afford not to make. And so I know that sounds bold, but what am I doing? I want you to get to the end result of the victory and the joy. I'm not saying what you're going through is your fault. There is a real life devil. But whether or not you stay there for your whole life and never get out of it, that's your decision. And God will sit there and allow you to stay in a place of suffering, to stay in a place of defeat. I dealt with somebody for years and years. This is an amazing story. I came out of the hospital when my dad was still alive, and a word of knowledge hit me. I had been dealing with somebody in a situation they're going through, and it was a very tough and difficult natural situation. And the Spirit of God, I'm walking out of the hospital, and I'm getting ready to get into my vehicle, and the Spirit of God drops it in my heart. This is what I'm telling them to do. Which would be what? Their answer. I said, oh, okay, well, this had been going on for years. I called the person, get in my vehicle, call the person. I said, you know, it's interesting. The Holy Spirit just told me exactly what God's already been telling you to do. And so I said, this is what the Holy Ghost told me that God's already telling you. And the person said, God's been telling me to do this for years. What are we waiting for? But you see what I mean? Their choice, whatever reason, it was pressure, fear, wrong thinking, whatever it was, their choice to not do the right thing led them to what? The constant struggle. And guess what? The Father up there the whole time, I'll let you stay in that struggle. But I gave you a choice and the answer to get out of it. Amen? Faith is a choice. It is a choice. Go with me to Mark chapter 5 and verse 24. You know how, well, maybe if you've never been to like a big theme park, you know, or trying to think of what else would maybe if you've seen people if they're get at a concert maybe or something or you're getting in line for tickets or something, you know, and there's no order and you see people just sprinting or get in line for, you know, the new iPhone or whatever it is or a sale or something and they run, you know, when the store opens or Black Friday, you've seen the store open and people just are rushing to that. Well, when I get, you know, let's just say that we don't die a natural death down here and Jesus comes back. If that's the case and we all go to heaven, I'll tell you, I am running right to the woman with the issue of blood. I want to meet this woman. Amen. I have a picture of her in my office. Well, I have a picture of her finger. And it cannot be confirmed or denied that's the actual representation of her finger. We're not sure, but I have a picture of her finger. And it shows like her in the midst of a crowd of people reaching for, or her hand, I should say, reaching for the garment of Jesus. I just love this woman. There's just things about her. And there's no story about faith that I go to more. I read this story over and over and over again. Something about her and the fight, and we're going to look at some of her situation, it just makes me want to tell Christians, grow the heck up. I didn't go to church because I was tired. But you're broke and you're sick and you need the anointing, but you stayed home because you were tired? Words of knowledge and the healing anointing was there, but I was busy. This is just, life's just too hard for me. And I see her. And for my own self, it's like, I don't want to be that casual. The people that got miracles were not casual. They weren't. Towards the things of God, they did not just, how I get certain things on the radar that I marinate on for a while? That's how God deals with me. There's different things right now that if you look at, like, you know, you see on a Navy ship or submarine, it's got the boop. And they can see, and it's going in a circle, and they can see, okay, there's a ship over here on the radar. That's the only way I can describe different things that he puts on my spirit that I'm supposed to start meditating on and getting ready, and then they're gonna come out. And one of the things that is on my heart is the attitudes and the behaviors that people have towards the house of God. The body of Christ in 2022 in America is so casual. Take it or leave it, everything else comes before it, and they don't understand what's here. And then when people come here, they bring the wrong attitude with them, the wrong mentality, and it's hurting their lives. You say, is it really hurting my life? Well, people that approached it that way with Jesus walked away lesser than others. It's just the truth. Amen, it's just the truth. Man, Pastor Mike, are you mad at us? Well, that's what Caleb could have said. Dad, are you mad at me? No. Dad, I trust you enough. You're not mad at me. You love me so much. You'd get up early and drive me all over Pennsylvania and take me hunting. There must be something to it. And my son just knows enough. Just listen to me. And then after, I said, buddy, I'm never mad at you. I love you so much. I know, Dad. I'm so thankful. He's so glad, you know, that I got on him. Praise God. Well, in Mark chapter 5 and verse 24, Jesus went with him, Jairus, talking about much people. Look at this. Much people followed him and thronged him. I made mention of this. You think of celebrities and different things, and I don't know who would be on that level now. I'm sure there's a band or a singer. But I remember seeing videos of Michael Jackson. Have you ever seen videos of Michael Jackson walking through, like, New York City or walking through a crowd? I mean, multitudes of people. Not just, hey, Mike, look at my moonwalk, you know? No, you don't see that. I mean, they're crazy. Crying, weeping, they see him, oh my gosh, and they're just reaching over bodyguards and security, what, just to touch the king of pop. Well, which king of pop was he? Dr. Pepper? Royal Crown? I don't know. Pop music, of course, you know. They called him the king of pop, Michael Jackson. Can you imagine the crowds that would try to get around the King of Kings? What did Michael Jackson have to offer? Some sweet dance moves and a high-pitched voice. right? I mean, what did Jesus have to offer? A complete life change. A complete turnaround. A complete deliverance. You can imagine when word would get out about him, if you're sick, if you're broke, if you're going through things, what the hysteria would have been around him, okay? So keep that in mind. It says, there was a certain woman, verse 25, which had an issue of blood 12 years. And she suffered many things of many physicians, spent all she had, was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind, touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway, immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue or power had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said to him, you are seeing multitudes thronging and touching you, and you're asking us who touched you? And he looked round about to see who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And she said, and he said unto her, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Now, we know how this turns out. You've heard me preach a million times. How did she get healed? She got healed by her faith. But I want to show you, before we just get to, yeah, well, it was her faith that did this. Let's look at some things here. Go back to verse 25. A certain woman had an issue of blood. Well, Jen's not here tonight, but Jen had told me and did, you know, just her knowledge and medical knowledge and told me what that condition would be and what it would be like for a person to lose blood consistently like that and what that would do to them, you know, and how tired that would leave them feeling, how weak that would leave them feeling. And look at what the Bible says. It went on for 12 years of feeling weak, sick, and tired. 12 years this went on for. Now, not only did, I don't know about you, but when I was going through my sickness for 2 years, I'll tell you what sickness does that not many other trials do as much because it's such a tangible feeling, it messes with your mind. When you're always feeling sick, when you're always feeling tired, when the pain is always there, it just messes with your emotions and it messes with your psyche. And here she was 12 years going through that. But not only that, socially, her condition made her an outcast. If you study those times, someone with her condition, with it being blood, you know, would have to declare that she's unclean in public. Or she could get in big trouble because she can't touch somebody else with her condition because then they have to go through their own ritual of cleansing and ceremony and different things. It just became, you know, she was considered unclean, dirty, you know, someone that you don't want to be around. And so if she wants to go out in public, if she even has the strength and the ability to go out in public, she's got to go out and let everyone know I'm an outcast, right? I remember being at summer camp. Oh, what was that place called? Miracle Mountain Ranch when I was little. And I was the self-conscious kid. I was the scared kid all the time. It's one of the reasons I named my son Caleb. Because Caleb was a man of faith in the Bible, wasn't afraid of anything. I said, you're not going to have a life like I did when I was a kid. The devil was after me from such a little age. I was terrified, self-conscious all the time, keep to myself. But I was at Miracle Mountain Ranch one time, and they had mail call, where, you know, you stay there for a week and someone sends you some mail. It's fun as a kid to get mail. And they kept calling for Michelle Anderson. And, you know, when you're a little boy, you know, if someone called me Michelle now, I'd say, oh, that's hilarious, you know, who cares, you know. But when you're a little boy, and so they're calling Michelle Anderson, Michelle Anderson, and nobody's moving, I'm thinking, well, maybe Michelle's shy. Michelle Anderson. And then they're looking and they're like, and they said, well, this is the address it came from, and my heart dropped. He said, oh, Oh, maybe it was from my grandma, and she had the worst writing. If you remember, grandma also, her writing was so bad that when my Aunt Marilyn, when I was younger, now, again, I know 2022 things are different. But when you're a little boy, back when I was a little boy, you did not want to get an all-pink sweatshirt. Whether you do or not, now, I'm just telling you the truth. Back then, I didn't want that. I was embarrassed, you know. And grandma's writing, instead of it saying Maryland, whoever's passing out the gifts thought it said Michael. And I opened that in front of everybody. I didn't know how to react. I didn't want to act ungrateful. But I was embarrassed, you know. And so, Michelle, oh, maybe it's Michael Anderson. Oh, don't make me do it. So I walk up, and what is everyone doing? Michelle! There's Michelle! Guess who I became the rest of the camp? Michelle Anderson, right? That's what kids do. Well, what did I become in my own mind? An outcast, right? Stand out, being made fun of. I remember when I had braces on my legs, I was mini Forrest Gump. I had Perthes disease of the hip, and I remember, got out of bed, dropped to the floor, I had to have braces, and I remember sitting as a young boy on the swings, not being able to play, and I remember two older girls, oh, just being brutal. What was I? I was an outcast. It's not fun to be an outcast, especially when you're little and you don't know and you don't have boldness and aren't comfortable in who you are, you know. And can you imagine going out in public and declaring to everybody, I'm unclean, stay away from me, unclean, letting them know what condition you have? Think of what that would do to her mentality and her emotions. Why am I telling you that? Because to get what she got, she had to choose. Am I going to choose hurt? Am I going to choose inconvenience? Am I going to choose comfort? Am I going to choose convenience? Had choice to make. Well, had gone for 12 years. Now look at this. It says in verse 26, suffered many things of many physicians. The doctors are the ones that are supposed to be the comfort. It wasn't just the fact that they had no answer for her. She was mistreated. When it says she suffered many things of many physicians, that's a real thing. Doctors were, we don't know exactly in what way, if they just took advantage of her, if they, who knows what, but she suffered many things of many physicians, many things. And look what it says. Nothing better, but rather grew worse and spent all that she had. Now, why am I going slow and pointing all these things out? Because we're talking about a person that Jesus, the Holy Ghost, and God thought was so dynamic. What does it say about Jesus? Back then it said, now maybe it wouldn't be the case today with how many more books there are, but even back then it was the noted to make that statement to show you how many works he did. If all the works, right, were in what Jesus did, it said, wouldn't it be able to be contained in all the books of the world? So we know that many things that happened were not put in here. But the ones that were put in here were skillfully selected by the Holy Ghost, God, and Jesus, all the same, right? And so why am I going slow and pointing out all these things? Because Jesus thought it important for you to know all the details, because in all the details show you something about our own lives. Here this woman is in an awful spot. Nobody's ever trying to tell you that you're not in a bad spot. Nobody's ever trying to tell you that life hasn't worked out for you. Nobody's ever telling you that maybe somebody is, but I'm not telling you that you're not that you haven't been wronged and are justifiably hurt and sad and brokenhearted. I'm not here to tell you that you haven't been wronged financially, that life dealt you a bad card, that maybe life dealt you parents that didn't love you or didn't teach you the right things or steered you the wrong way, and now because of that, it didn't get you off on the right foot. I'm not telling you that that's not true. But you know what God gave us at the starting line that we all have a choice to do with? He gave us a measure of faith. He gave us a measure of what? A measure of a force that all that other stuff can be trumped by this measure of faith. And here's a woman that has been wronged in life, that is in a terrible, terrible place in so many different ways, right? And what do we see about her? Well, we saw that she was helped, but why was she helped? Well, we saw what Jesus said at the end, and we saw the struggle and what she had to do naturally, and we'll maybe bring that up in a second and point out more, but she didn't get it because, okay, it was time for life to start smiling on her. She had been wrong for 12 years. Eventually, it just has to change. Why does it have to change? It doesn't have to change. You see, Christians live and die in poverty. Live and die in being fearful their whole lives, and they had God in them the whole time. Live and die with sickness and incurable things their whole life. We see it all the time. And so, time and just because you need something, I'm sure she desired to be whole. I'm sure every day she woke up and dealt with that and those symptoms or went out in public, I'm sure that the desire was, I wish I wasn't like this. That didn't turn it around for her, right? That didn't turn it around for her. You know, Bible didn't say she was moral and kind and churchgoer and she faithful, sang in the choir at her church and was a tither and was good to people, spoke the right things, watched the right things, was a good Christian. That's not how she got it. What does the Bible say in verse 34? Daughter, thy faith has made you whole. But this is what you see in here. Her choice, this is why I'm trying to be bold to you here, her choice of living or deciding or choosing faith naturally was not easy. What don't we see in her? We don't see convenience. We don't see how simple and things falling into her lap. We see a woman sitting at home. When she heard of Jesus, she came in the press. What's that mean? When she heard Jesus was there, she got ready, got out of her house with the pressure, with the fear, with the anxiety, with the weakness, with the sickness and the tiredness in her body. Remember, much people followed him and thronged him. So we're not talking about an isolated man walking down the street that she can just casually walk up to. No, there's a crowd, and she can't even see him. She's just following the crowd. And she knows, number one, I got to break through the crowd. I'm not strong enough. When those people are going nuts for the King of Pop, you see people trampling one another. When people want to buy a TV for $200 off, they trample one another on Black Friday. When people are going through a sickness and a disease or torment and something for their family and the answer's there, they are going to be a madhouse pressing, trampling to get to him. You got a picture of this in your mind now. And she sees this. And so what does she do when she hears Jesus in town? She has a choice. What am I going to choose today? Am I going to choose faith, endurance, perseverance, or am I going to choose convenience? Am I going to choose laziness? Am I going to choose apathy? Am I going to choose casualness? Am I going to choose to not fight today? Come on, she had a choice. She had a choice, and she chose faith. But what I want you to see in verse 27, where it says, when she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I'll be whole. And straightway, immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus immediately knowing himself that, I love that, instantly Jesus was like, ooh, something's different. You know, when I get an opportunity to operate in the word of knowledge or a word of wisdom, it's interesting how it happens, you know. Like a lot of times, it'll either be during preaching and then you'll say something and maybe not point out that it was a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom. Word of knowledge deals with past and present things. Word of wisdom deals with future things. Or like when I'm praying after service, you know, I never come into a, I mean, I'm always crying out for the gifts of the Spirit. Father, we need the gifts of the Spirit. I thank you, the gifts of the Spirit are in operation on the earth, you know, hungering and thirsting after them. But I never go into a service thinking, okay, I'm going to try to make a word of knowledge work tonight. I'm going to try to make a word of wisdom work or prophecy or whatever, some kind of gift of spirit. But when it happens, immediately I recognize something's different. And it's like, okay, now I got to find out what it is. And then they just get in my heart, you know, okay, oh, okay, I see that. That's what I'm supposed to do. Or And sometimes you get the whole word. Sometimes you're supposed to call someone up and then the words come, whatever. But I understand that immediately something being different. And Jesus immediately, in all that chaos, confusion and commotion, recognized something's different. And he said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said unto him, now they're just being logical here. "Jesus, let me get you right. You're asking who touched you. Why are they asking him?" Because they're seeing everybody touch him. But this is what I want you to see about this. And after that, Jesus said, he just ignored them because they said, we don't know what you're talking about. Everybody's touching you. But remember what he said. Immediately, Jesus felt in himself that virtue or power had gone out of him. So everybody's touching him, and that would feel the same, right? That thronging, that press. But now Jesus feels something different, and he knows somebody came with a different touch, because now I feel something different go out of me. Power goes out of me. And he looks round about to see her that done this thing, and the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done, came and fell down before him all, told him all the truth. And he said, "Daughter, thy faith has made you whole." But this is what I'm talking about. She had a choice that day of going forward and going after something with faith. It wasn't easy, wasn't convenient, wasn't simple, but she made the right choice, right? And went through it with that. But all those other people there, now let's start to look at it in terms of our church and the body of Christ. Do you think that Jesus, who was the visible, remember what Jesus said? "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." Right? The words I speak, it's what I hear him say. What I do is what I see him do. Well, what do we know about God? He's loving, compassionate, merciful, and kind. Do you think that there's a person on earth that God is glad that they are sick? No. A person on earth that God is glad they're tormented in their mind and in their body? No. Or finance? No. He gave Jesus for the whole world, but what do we know about God? Here's a choice, mankind. Blessing, cursing, life and death. Choose right. Do you think then, knowing that Jesus and God were the same, Jesus was just the God we could see, do you think that Jesus, in everybody that was touching him, wanted every single one of them to get their answer? Absolutely. He did. Every single one of them. Now, this is where you need to start waking up and realizing some things here. Every one of those people are thronging him because they're in need of something. And he is the answer. And they're desperate for him. But being desperate doesn't get your help. Being in need did not get their help. The one thing that made a withdrawal from the Savior was the one that skillfully touched him with the touch of faith. All those other people, that's why when you go back to the Syrophoenician woman in Matthew 15, 21, it says she had a daughter grievously vexed to the devil. We see Jesus ignore her. We see the disciples ignore her. We see Jesus ignore her again. We see Jesus say she's a dog. We see Jesus say this isn't for her. I'm not here for her. All these things, right? And then call her a dog. Well, he's not mean. He's not cruel. He's not a name caller. You know, she could have, you know, "Sticks and stones, Jesus, may break my bones, but names will never hurt me." You know, called her a dog. He wasn't a name caller, being nasty to her. But what did she come to him with? The same thing everyone in that crowd was coming to him with. Desperation, hopelessness, discouragement, and just basically throwing up the Hail Mary and hoping it lands. She came there skillfully, made a choice. Right? And everyone in that crowd came like, and so why did Jesus ignore her? To get her faith up. And finally he got it to where it needed to be. And then what? Boom, something came out of him. "Now I can help you." Praise God. All these people needed something and they were not skillful. You want to know how to get your withdrawal from God? You need to be skillful. And so now we can only transition into one thing. The butt out. And if you didn't listen to my service last Sunday, you don't know what the butt out is. But you're about to all be made aware of what the butt out is. And just that name alone would get me on the edge of my seat to say, what the heck is the butt out? When you harvest a deer, and by now we know I'm a hunter. It's Western New York. People hunt all the time, so I hope I'm not offending anyone here. But when you kill a deer, harvest a deer, you have to field dress it. Or another term is gut the deer, which is what? You cut the insides out. Why? Lighter to drag it, but also it's to get all that stuff out so it doesn't spoil the meat. And one of the things that you have to do with a deer to make sure the meat doesn't get tainted is you have to cut the butt out. Wonderful, isn't it? Well, this is what I'm going to tell you. When you do that with just a knife, it is a tedious and not so fun process. If you do it wrong, it gets really messy, you can imagine. And it's not fun, and it's just a pain in the butt. The butt out is an orange tool that has like hooks on the end of it, and then it goes down a shaft and it has like a circle stop. And you take that butt out and use your imagination. You can imagine we put it, but it has a stop. You twist and you pull, and it withdraws that all in one quick fell swoop. What is it? Makes things easy, makes things cleaner, makes things a lot better overall. You don't even know. Well, what is the butt out? It's a strategic and skillful way to withdraw. Faith is your spiritual butt out. It's your skillful way to not make a mess of your life, to not take more time than needed, to not trip around and fumble and get into the mess of things, but to skillfully withdraw what you need. These people all came to God skillfully with faith and made a withdrawal on him that nobody, or this woman came that nobody else did. Do you see it there? Amen. Why? Because she was deserving? Nope. Why? Because she needed it? Nope. Why? Because she had been through so much pain and torment and she was justifiably in a bad place and deserved better treatment? Nope. She decided to be skillful and say, you know what? Today is a day that I am choosing the right direction. Why? Choose right life, choose wrong death. Amen. And we'll close with this. Go to Job 22, verse 21. Job 22 and verse 21. And I have my phone down here with the Bible on. I'm going to pull that up in the Amplified. In Job 22 and verse 21. Let's see here. I've shown you tonight that your answer out of anything is faith. We've talked about this over and over. And we've talked about fear a lot. And so this message is kind of coming up and tying this whole thing together of faith. And if you want out of your situation, it's your choice. It's your choice. We see the force that can get you out of it. Faith can get you out of it. But what is faith? I'm going to read it in the Amplified, Job 22, 21. This is the easiest way I can put forth faith. I remember hearing this years ago and thinking, that clears the whole thing up for me. Acquaint now yourself with him. Agree with God. Ensure yourself to be conformed to his will and be at peace. By that you shall prosper and great good shall come to you. What does it say to acquaint yourself with him and how good things will come to you? Just agree with God. What does that mean? God said, healing is mine. What are you agreeing with? Your pain? The calendar? What you feel? What the doctors say? What's your attitude? What are you meditating on? What are you daydreaming about? What are you saying out of your mouth? That tells us what you're agreeing with. What are you agreeing with when God says you're rich, that I take pleasure in the prosperity of my servant, that all my children's needs shall be met. That's what God has said. What are you agreeing with? Well, what are we agreeing with? The things we're thinking about, daydreaming about, talking about, and our body language, right? Tell us what we're agreeing with. If we're agreeing with poverty, we're probably talking about it. We're probably thinking of how bad it is all the time. We're not daydreaming about our situation turning around. You're agreeing with the wrong thing. All faith is agreeing with God. That's it. If God said it, I receive it and believe it, and I'm confessing for it. That's it. God said, I agree with that, Father. And what then doesn't matter? The calendar doesn't matter. Feelings don't matter. Thoughts don't matter, right? What you see doesn't matter, and what you hear doesn't matter. Just agree with God. See how easy it is? Takes all the formulas out of the way, all the, well, what step this, what step that? No. What are you going through? Find out what God says and say, praise God, that's for me. I agree with that. What's that called? Mixing faith with the word you hear. What's mixing faith? I believe that, Father. I don't feel healed, but you said I'm healed and healing belongs to me. I agree with that. So you know what? I'm talking healing from now on. I'm daydreaming healing from now on. I'm thinking healing from now on. And we could all just look in the spiritual mirror and say, yeah, haven't been doing that. Life and death. That's what faith is. Make the choice of faith. Amen? It can get you out of any situation. Praise God. But God will let you stay in any situation too if you choose. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful. Stirred up in these areas. Father, just increasing in our skillfulness in this. It's an area that's so attacked by the devil. I've seen people leave churches because they'd stopped believing in faith because they were so soured by life and circumstances and the thoughts they took. There's such an attack and an assault on faith because it is our answer. It is our help. It is the thing that pleases you. It is the thing which we overcome by. It is the thing which we receive the promises. It's the thing which we quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. It's the thing that makes us whole. It's a thing by which all things are possible. It's the thing by which we get our rest. Hallelujah. We love faith, Father. We love hearing about it. We love growing in it. But it is a choice. And that woman chose right and she received. We choose what we say. We choose what we think about. We choose what we meditate about. We choose what we daydream about. We choose what we agree with. We choose what we disagree with. Father, I pray for light and revelation for every single person here. Concerning the area of faith and the places where they've been doubters and unbelievers and have puttered along wallowing in those things. Father, I pray they'd have light and revelation that, you know what, it's time to wake up. Today's my day for my turnaround. Today's my day the new direction happens. And oh, what a change it will be, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We love you and praise you and magnify you. If you're watching this service, I know everyone here is born again. If you're watching, I don't know who you are. You don't know if you've received Jesus. You know, heaven's the best thing you could get. And heaven is simple. God has made heaven simple. And John 3:16 says, if you believe on Jesus, you won't perish but have everlasting life. And so if you're watching, you say, I don't know if I'd go to heaven, but I want to, and I believe in Jesus, then you're almost there. You just got to ask him into your heart. And so if you're watching, you say, I want to go to heaven, and I've never accepted Jesus in my heart, just cry out to him when we end this service. Just say, Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you died and rose again, and I ask you to come into my heart. And if you're listening, you say, I want to go to heaven. I just don't understand some of this stuff. I'm confused by some of this stuff. Please call me. Please email me. The information's on the website. And I'll help you with it and show you what the Bible says and get you started in your best life ever. But Father, we're just so grateful. Let's just thank him tonight and worship him. Let's stand to our feet and give him honor and praise. And you know, sometimes we could get lazy, but let's just give him the honor. Just make sure there's nothing left to do but to praise him and to magnify him. Glorify you, Father. We thank you for faith. It's my favorite thing, Father. It's my favorite thing that you've ever told me about. It's my favorite thing to study. It's my favorite thing to meditate on. It's my favorite thing to preach because it's our answer. It's our help. Nothing else fixed that woman that day. There was nothing else. Yeah, your power was available, but it didn't. There was no withdrawal made until faith was there. Help us, Father. Help us, Father. We love faith. We're lovers of faith. What a joy and privilege. And Father, I'm so glad that it's the devil. He can try, but he can't be my reason for my defeat. Family can't be my reason for my defeat. The economy can't be my reason for defeat. If a Republican or a Democrat's in office, can't be my reason for defeat. Falls on my choice, and I choose faith, Father. I choose to believe you in the face of hell. I choose to believe you in the face of torment, in the face of sickness, in the face of poverty. I'm choosing you, and I choose what you say, and I agree with you. And Father, I declare over my life in this congregation that we are going into more, that we are going into more healing, we are going into more prosperity, we are going into more peace, going into more joy, going into more protection, going into more favor. No matter what it looks like, feels like, or what the calendar said, who gives a rip? If that woman would have listened to the calendar, she would have stayed home. If that woman would have listened to her mind, she would have stayed home. If that woman would have listened to her feelings, she would have stayed home. If that woman would have listened to things she heard, she would defy you. We bless your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you and appreciate you. We'll see you next Saturday. You are dismissed.